Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to Calvary. If you are a visitor today, we're glad to have you join us. Please take a moment to complete the visitors tab. I pulled this out for two reasons. One, if you are visiting, but I don't see visitors. But we do have one visitor. He's up there, though. On this side of this is a volunteer square. So if God has led you to volunteer to work in either the nursery, once we start growing, or Awana's, we are still asking for help. We don't have enough kids yet, but let's be prepared when they come, right? Okay, so we will have prayer and Bible study on Wednesday in the sanctuary, except I forgot to tell y'all, I will not be here Wednesday because we have a school trip that I take the seventh graders from my school to a youth ranch, and we do a service project over Wednesday, Thursday, and come home Friday. So I will not be here Wednesday night. I've already told all the youth, but I'm just telling you guys because you're my church family, and I won't be here Wednesday night. So, but they will have adult Bible study. And if any youth come, you can come into it. And who's teaching this week? Okay, Robert. Awesome. So, I'm sorry I'm going to miss that. He's good. So, this Saturday, we need everybody that can come to come this Saturday from 9 to noon. We're having a work day. We have a lot to do. Not heavy lifting, nothing like that. Just a lot of things that need to get done. So, if you could come help us, that would be awesome. And if you would like a Calvary Baptist Church shirt, I need you to see Jamie Haver at the service. She has the samples that you can look and choose which sample you want. And then tell her what size you want and put your name down. All right. And Angela has graciously volunteered, or maybe voluntold, I don't know, to make us T-shirts. But anyway, she's doing it, so she volunteered. So that's the story, and we're sticking to it. She volunteered. All right. And then I hear Jamie Lawler, you need to come up here. You have something going on. What's going on? I hear there's something happening. What's happening?
My birthday's on Wednesday. I'm going to be 29.
Woo! Hey, you got to stay up here. Stay up here. We're going to sing happy birthday to you. All right, if you'll stand and join me in prayer. Father God, I thank you for this day, and Lord, I thank you for these people. I thank you for those that couldn't make it today. I pray that you give them safe travels wherever they are. We have several missing today, and I ask that you would be with them, that you would guide and direct their paths, Lord. I pray as we go through this message, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts, and as we join you in worship, Lord, I pray that we totally surrender, and those things in our life that hold us back, Lord, I pray we just cast them on you like we learned last week, Lord. I pray that you would just guide and direct us and protect us. Most of all, Lord, I want to pray for Jamie and her sweet, sweet life that she's living. Lord, I pray that you would just bless her, especially on Wednesday, that you give her a special blessing for her birthday. And I pray all this in Jesus' name.
Jesus saves, spread the tidings all around. Father, we thank you for loving us and reviving us. And I pray that, Father, as we take time out of our week and enter this room, Father, we truly enter with a heart of thanksgiving and come in with a focus on worshiping you. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. Be seated. We are exploring through a series on money, and our scripture for this month, Matthew 6:24 says, "No one can serve two masters, for you will either love one and hate the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and be enslaved to money." Jesus taught on this subject more than anything else, and we are living in a society that loves money more than anything else. But for us, our focus should be on loving Him and worshiping Him.
Spirit in this place. Isn't he of peace, Son of God, isn't he? Isn't he wonderful, wonderful, isn't he? Counselor, Almighty God,
my prayer is that we truly do worship Him with every part of our life. And as we come to our offering, pray with me. Father, I thank You for loving us. And Father, we do worship You. And Father, I pray that we worship You with our possessions. And as we come to this point in our worship, I pray that You bless the gift and the giver, that it will be used to glorify You. And it's in Your name we pray. Amen.
we thank you today for your goodness, for your mercy. Thank you for your love, for loving us when we were quite unlovable people. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord.
Pray with me. Father, we want to have hearts of thanksgiving for what you are and who you are and what you do for us. And Father, as we come to a time of studying your word, I pray that you open our eyes and our hearts. Let the words that are spoken be yours and give us ears to hear, that we might grow in you and be more like you. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. Are you thankful for what God's done for you? Are you thankful when your piggy bank is empty? Are you thankful when it's full? We live in a society, in a country that is focused on more. If your bank is full, get another one so you can have more. And as we begin to study into what God tells us, what our relationship should be to money and how the perspective He wants us to have, this morning we're going to talk about saving, and that's a four-letter word in America. You don't save it, you spend it, right? You spend it so you can have more, you can get a bigger one. Scripture tells us otherwise, and Proverbs chapter 21, verse 20 says, "Those who have wealth, the wise have wealth and luxury, but a fool spends whatever they get." Proverbs 30, verse 25 said, talking about ants, "They aren't strong, but they store up food all summer. our desire in this society is to have more, to be rich. And we, as a society, look up to those who have more. We want to be like them as a society. We want more and more and more. I've said many times, you see when the lottery gets up to some astronomical figure and everybody goes crazy, and I've told Misty many times, I would not want to win that. Think I'm crazy? I would not want to win that. Because the headache of winning that would outweigh the value of having it. Because when you get more, what happens? You want more. But then you spend all your time trying to figure out how to keep what you have and not let somebody get it. So then your focus becomes the bank, the pig. I got to take care of this pig. Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. And I'm going to start reading at verse 6. Yet true godlessness with contentment, yet true godliness with contentment, it is itself great wealth. Contentment is not something this country knows a lot about. Some of us may not know a lot about contentment, of just saying, I'm good. We like to think, well, if I had this, I would do this. If I had more, if my pig was fuller, I could do more for God. Right? If my pig was fuller, I would do more for God. Yeah, I bet not. Verse 7, after all, we were brought in with nothing with us when we came into this world, and we can't take anything with us when we leave. Y'all all seen the illustration of the U-Haul trailer on the back of a hearse? It's perspective. Verse 8. So, if we have enough food and clothing, let us be content. Is that enough? Is that enough for you? You got enough food and clothing, is that enough? But people who long to be rich fall into temptation and are trapped by many foolish and harmful desires that plague them into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all evil, and some people crave money, have wandered from true faith, and pierced themselves with many sorrows. Do you remember back, I think it's been almost 10 years ago now, the largest lottery winning in the U.S., and it happened on Christmas Day. And it was a guy in West Virginia that won it. And it absolutely ruined his life. If you read his story, it's heartbreaking. And he was already fairly wealthy, but he would tell you it ruined his life. His family fell into drugs, and he lost a grandchild to an overdose, and he got robbed multiple times. But I want to tell you what the bigger challenge for us is, especially at the age that most of us are getting to in this room. It's the fear that this is going to run out. The fear that this is going to run out. We try to save and put back, and we have a fear that it's not going to be enough, that one day it's going to run out. I want us to look at some of Jesus' teaching. It's in Luke chapter 12. And we're going to start at verse 13, and it's kind of a long passage, and rather than me read it, I'm going to show it to you. So This video is from Luke chapter 12. It starts at verse 13.
Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Man, who made me a judge or arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And he told them a parable, saying, "The land of a rich man produced plentifully. And he thought to himself, 'What shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops.' And he said, 'I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be?' So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." And he said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? If then you are not able to do as small a thing as that, why are you anxious about the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass, which is alive in the field today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not seek what you are to eat and what you are to drink, nor be worried. For all the nations of the world seek after these things, and your Father knows that you need them. Instead, seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you." Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the needy. Provide yourselves with money bags that do not grow old, with a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also.
That last verse is so critical for us to wrap our understanding around. Where your treasures are, there's your heart. I've seen this, and I guarantee you Sherry can give you more stories than you can count, that nothing brings out the worst in people like the death of somebody with something. People go crazy. Families get torn apart. I want to tell you, I think the bigger challenge than not chasing money and possessions for some of us is the thought that, I have another one, that when your pig is this big, and it's supposed to be this big, Do you follow me? You have this much and you're hoarding it because God wants your pig this big. Because we live in a society that says your pig can't be too big, right? The bigger the better. If this one gets full, get another one. And Jesus says, you're a fool. Because you know what? When your pig gets big enough, you start putting your trust in your pig and not God. And you start focusing on how to keep this and how to make it more. And sometimes God wants your pig this big, but you kept more than you were supposed to. Look at verse 29. And don't be concerned about what you eat or what you drink. Don't worry about such things. These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers all over the world. But your heavenly Father knows what you need. Seek the kingdom of God above all else, and He'll give you everything you need. See, we try to get our pig full enough so we have what we need, even when we can't work or we get old. And so we start putting all our faith and our trust in our pig. And you know what? It can be gone like that. So where do we put our faith and our trust? Scripture says, don't be concerned. Focus on the kingdom. If you're focused on God, that's all that matters. Nothing else matters. And that means we have to be focused on God with our pig. Because sometimes we let our pig get too full, and there was stuff that God wanted you to do that you didn't do because you were worried about making sure your pig was full enough. Look at verse 38. This would be seen as foolish in our society, but also would be seen as a gigantic task, I guarantee you, for anybody in this room, including me. Sell all your possessions and give it to those who need it. Sell all your possessions and give it to those. Aren't you glad God didn't ask you to do that? Sell all your possessions and give it to those in need. This will store up treasures for you in heaven. And the pursuit of heaven never gets old or develops holes. Your treasure will be safe. When your pig gets big, you got to worry about it, right? Somebody trying to steal it or take it or... What God is telling you, and don't walk out of here and say, the preacher said I'm supposed to sell everything and give it to the needy. Do you want me to tell you that's not what the scripture's telling you? Because it's not. It's not telling you sell everything and give it to the first hobo that passes by. That would be foolish. Okay, you would not do them any favors, or you. That's not what the scripture is telling you. What this scripture is telling you is God needs to have control of your pig. That's it. Because what you need to be able to do, whether your pig is this big or this big, is say today, what do you want me to do, God? What do you want me to do? Do you want me to take it all and give it to somebody? Do you want me to take some of it? Do you want me to do something? The focus is not the pig. The focus is God. The focus is us giving God control of everything. And the biggest challenge for any Christian in this country is giving God control of your wallet. I guarantee it. It's the biggest challenge for any of us. Saving, we understand it. We're not all that great at it at times because of the desire to want. We need to get this or have that or I need this. And we put need by things that are really wants. And we're blessed enough that God has given us the ability to get some of our wants. But when we do that, if we're not careful, we get off of focusing on Him and giving Him control of our pig, no matter how big it is. Look with me at Exodus chapter 16. Exodus chapter 16. Because He wants us focused on Him and trusting in Him. Because what we like to do in this country is we put our trust in a pension fund or a 401k or something, savings account that's going to meet our needs. Part of the problem in this country is a lot of people put their trust in these. That's a whole nother story, but that's a disaster. Some of you found that out. Exodus chapter 16. God has led His people out of captivity, and now He's going to tell them, I'm going to provide for you. Exodus chapter 16, verse 4. Then the Lord said to Moses, I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day. In this way I will test them and see whether they will follow my instructions. Verse 5. On the sixth day they are to prepare what they need, what they bring in, and that is twice so that they won't have to gather the other day on the seventh. So, y'all know this story. God's going to give them what they need for today. And what happened? Like us at times, we're not listening, and we need to put our trust somewhere other than God in case God doesn't come through, right? Look at verse 19. Then Moses said to them, no one is to keep any of it until morning. Go out and get what you need to eat and eat it. Verse 20. However, some of them paid no attention to Moses. No. They kept part of it until morning, but it was full of maggots and began to smell, so Moses was angry with them. Why did they keep it? They didn't have faith that God was going to give it to them tomorrow. We are them at times. We are them at times. Because my pig's only this big, and that's not going to last very long. So I need to get my pig from this big to this big so that I don't have to trust God, is really what we're saying. That's the bottom line of it. For those people, God said, I'm going to give you what you need for today. Get what you need. You're going to be full. And don't save anything. Some of them paid no attention. When it comes to saving for us, and the Bible teaches us we're supposed to save. In Genesis chapter 41 is where Joseph saves for 7 years, so that in 7 years of famine he has enough food to feed the people. So God teaches us to save, but He also teaches us not to hoard. And the hoarding, I think, is the bigger challenge for some of us. Because the issue when we start hoarding is we stop trusting. Because we all want this big, right? You want your pig to be this big, not this big. Right? If both of these were full, and I said you could have either one of them, everybody in this room's taking this one. Everybody. Because then we have more, right? But what God is telling us in our money is trust me. Trust me. I gave it to you. It's mine. So do with it what I tell you. And you know what the amazing thing is? When you do that, just like they found out, there's more. There's going to be more. And if you're one of those people who are fearful that your pig is going to run out, it might, but your God won't. So where do you put your trust? Pray with me. Father, I thank you for loving us and providing for us. And Father, as we study your word and your teachings about money, and Father, you knew it was going to be a struggle for all of us. I hope that, pray that as we study your word, we're ever mindful about the simple principle that you want all of us to apply to money, and trust you. Trust you with what we have, to trust you when we have needs that you will meet them. Trust you when we're given an abundance and you don't merely want us to save it all, you want us to give some of it. Father, let us be mindful that you want to be in control of every part of our life, including our piggy banks. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. Stand with us and let's sing. Thank you for coming out in this weather. I hope that God blesses you as you focus on Him with your piggy banks. Wednesday night, 6:30, come for prayer and Bible study. Come back Saturday morning, 9 to noon. There's lots to be done inside and out. So male, female, we got something for everybody to do. We got things we need to get taken care of. So be a part of that. It's more about us spending time together and fellowshipping, and you'll have a good time, but we'll also get things done we need to get done. So as we go out that door, I pray that we be ever mindful that sometimes God wants us to give part of our piggy bank to the world for Him. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for loving us and blessing us. Father, as we leave this room, let us take you with us and not leave you here. Let us be focused on what you want and be ever mindful that you have divine encounters for us, opportunities to tell people about you, and moreover, opportunities to show them about you. It's in your name we pray. Amen.